If you have your Bible with you this evening, we're turning to two portions of Scripture. I'm going to read a portion of Scripture from Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. And then there's one text, and it's found in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, and the chapter 27. Now, it is good to see you here on a Monday night. Reverend Salt was saying that the preacher dreads a Monday night. Well, I dread every night. So I do. Because sometimes I don't understand why people come back to hear me preach. And I'm not saying that to be humble by any means. I remember the Reverend Ivan Foster saying to me one time, "John, if you want to improve your preaching, you should listen to yourself on tape." And I thought to myself, this would be a good idea, until I did it. And then I determined that I would never do it again. So it is encouraging to see you here tonight, and indeed you've been so faithful every night, and we do thank you for coming. And if you're here for the first time, we give you a very special welcome, and we pray that the Lord will bless you especially, bless us all around his word this evening. I'm going to read some verses from Luke chapter 16, and we're going to commence our reading at verse 19. "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And then, Proverbs chapter 27, the text of Scripture that I want to leave before you this evening, a very solemn text, is found at the beginning of verse 20. And this is what we read. It says, Hell and destruction are never full. Hell and destruction are never full. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we bow before thee tonight again, and we do thank thee, Lord, for the privilege of preaching the gospel. And yet, Lord, we recognize that without thee, we can do absolutely nothing. Oh God, we recognize that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And yet, Lord, we thank thee that you can take the weak things of the world and you can use them for your glory. And oh God, we just pray that you would take this weak vessel tonight. You come, Lord, and fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. And, O God, that the word of God might come not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And, O God, we pray for those in the meeting tonight who are not saved. We ask thee, Lord, that you would speak to their heart. O God, we pray in Jesus' precious name that this night they would consider their latter end. And, O God, that they would look beyond time, that they would look beyond tomorrow, that they would look beyond the plans that they have made for their lives upon this earth. And Lord, look beyond the grave and see where they're going to spend the great eternity. For, O God, in 100 years from now, and even less, all of us will be in the great eternity. O God, but the question is, where will we be in eternity? Where will we spend eternity? Surely this question comes to us all. We pray, Lord, that everyone here, even as our sister has been singing, that everyone here will be prepared for heaven. We thank Thee that there is a place called heaven. We thank Thee that there are streets paved with gold. We praise Thee that there is mansions in the sky. But, O God, it's only for those who are prepared and saved by the grace of God. We pray, Lord, this night, as we consider this solemn subject, dear God, that You would come and work in hearts. We just pray, Lord, that You would give us ears to hear and hearts that will understand the Word of God and the message of the Gospel tonight. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Tonight, as I come to preach the Word of God, I want to sound a note of warning to all those in the meeting tonight who are not saved. And the solemn note of warning is very simple. In the words of our text in Proverbs 27 and verse 20, hell and destruction are never full. If there's one truth that this text of Scripture reveals to us, it is the fact of the reality of the place called hell. Now, I know that we live in this 21st century, and the majority of people that live upon this earth at this present moment, they do not believe in hell. They will not accept that there is such a place. Indeed, in every generation that has been the case, but I believe more so even today in this age in which we live. Men and women have no time for the gospel, no time for religion, but certainly when it comes to the biblical doctrine of hell, even many in religious circles will not accept that there is such a place called hell. And yet when you study the Bible, the Word of God, at least 56 times in the Bible, the doctrine of hell is referred to. Therefore, to deny the reality of hell is to deny the plain teaching of the Scriptures of truth. Right from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, time and time again, this subject, this solemn subject, is set forth in the Word of God for all to read. And I would encourage you, if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, and it's not your practice to read the Bible, I would exhort you to take the Bible down and to read the Scriptures of truth for yourself. And you will read about this subject, and of course many others, but certainly as far as hell is concerned, you will have to come to the same conclusion as I have come to, that the Bible teaches clearly that hell is a reality for all those who reject Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. My friend, if there's one truth that you need to learn tonight, it's this. And I say this lovingly, and I say this tenderly, and I say this with all the compassion in my heart this evening. If you die in your sin, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, on the authority of this book, you will go to a lost eternity, and you will spend eternity in hell. As we come to consider this text this evening, very simply, I want to emphasize four things about hell. And I want you to listen very carefully, because it's very important that you see what the Bible teaches. It's not what I teach. It's not what the church teaches. It's not what any other Christian teaches that is the most important. It is what the Word of God teaches and what the Bible teaches. Therefore, the thoughts, the truths that I want to bring out tonight about hell, they're taken from the Word of God. And because of that, that means that it's important that you listen very carefully to what the Scriptures teach, especially if you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, you're not saved. What do we learn here about hell? Well, first of all, we learn here about the description of this place called hell. Now, hell is described many different ways in the Bible, but I just want to concentrate your thoughts here on Proverbs 27 and verse 20. You'll notice here that in our text, hell is described as a place, look at it, of destruction. It says, hell and destruction are never full. I want to emphasize that word destruction, because the word destruction in the text here, it means this. It means a destroying angel. That's what the word literally means. Therefore, hell is a place where the soul of man is lost. A place where God shows no mercy. A place of ruin where there is no hope and no salvation. In this destruction that is spoken of here, there is darkness, there is pain, there is suffering for the lost soul. Now, last night, if you were here, you will remember that we preached about the soul of man and the importance of the soul being saved and the reality that everyone has a soul and an immortal soul, a soul that will live forever and forever. Well, here tonight we are emphasizing where your soul will be if you die without Jesus Christ as your Savior. Your soul will be in a place of destruction. In this destruction, there is suffering. Indeed, in Jude 13, that text of Scripture describes hell as the blackness of darkness. What a description that is. In Luke 16, that portion of Scripture we're only after reading, the rich man described hell as a place of torments. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he preached about hell, described hell as a place where both the soul and the body would suffer. Matthew 10, verse 28, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, last night when we were preaching, we made a distinction between the body and the soul. And, of course, there is a distinction, because when you die, your body will be put into Mother Earth, but your soul will live on. And at that moment of death, if you're not saved, your soul will go to this place called hell, this place called destruction. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in Matthew chapter 10 and said that both the soul and the body would suffer in hell, what he was referring to was after the resurrection. When the Lord Jesus comes back again, everyone that is dying will be resurrected. And those who have died outside of Christ, your body, if you die without Christ, your body that has been put into the earth will be resurrected. And at that point, your body will be reunited to your soul. But then in the final judgment, the Bible says that death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. But as far as hell is concerned and destruction is concerned, when you end up in that awful place, there is no salvation. There is no redemption. That's why it is important to get saved on earth. That's why it is important to get saved now. Indeed, it is imperative. If the Lord is speaking to you, and I believe He has brought you into this meeting tonight to speak to your heart through His precious word. And the Lord wants tonight to redeem your soul, to give you everlasting life, to save you for time and for eternity, and to prepare you for heaven. But here we have the description of hell, a place of destruction. And time throughout the Bible, hell is described as a place of fire. Matthew 13, verse 42, hell is described as a furnace of fire. Revelation 20, verse 15, hell is described as the lake of fire. Matthew 3, verse 12, unquenchable fire. Isaiah 33, verse 14, devouring fire. How vivid the Bible describes this awful place. Therefore, if hell is so real and so terrible, why do preachers and ministers not warn their congregations about such a place? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? Maybe you don't belong to the Free Presbyterian Church. Maybe you don't belong to any evangelical church. and you go to church every week, let me ask you this question. And I like to ask this question, and I've asked it to many individuals who I've spoken to about their souls who go to church. The question is this: when is the last time your minister preached about hell and warned you to flee from the wrath to come? I can remember asking a young man that one time, and he says, oh, our minister is saved, and he tells us that we need to be saved. And I says, that's very good. Tell me this. The next 2 months, go and listen to him, and I want you to come back after the 2 months and tell me how many times he preaches about hell. And he came back after the 2 months, and he says he never preached once. My friend, we need to preach about hell because hell is real. And we need to warn men to flee from the wrath to come, because the day will come when men and women will die in their sin and be lost forever and forever. You know, General Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, once said that the time would come when preachers would take the gold out of heaven, they would take repentance out of salvation, they would take the blood out of redemption, and they would take the fire out of hell. And sad to say, that day has come. But you know, you're here tonight, sitting under the sound of God's word. Let me say very solemnly that hell is a place of destruction. Not only is it a real place, but it's a place of destruction. And what a sad place it is. But notice something else here. I want you to take a look at the text again, and I want you to notice the occupants of this place called hell. You know, it says here, hell and destruction are never full. Yet, hundreds of thousands of people occupy this awful place, although it's never full. The truth is that hundreds of thousands of people occupy hell. This very moment, as you are under the sound of the gospel just now, all those who have died outside of Christ from the beginning of time right up until this day, who have died without Christ, that is, are there. Did you ever stop and think of the type of people who occupy hell? The Word of God gives us a list of all the different types of people who enter into this place of destruction. Now, keep your hand in Proverbs 29 and turn over to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and take a look at chapter 21 of Revelation, and look there with me at verse 8. Now, if you read verses 1 to 7, you will read about heaven and the wonder of heaven and the glory of heaven and the people who go to heaven. But when you come to verse 8, you read about those who go to hell. Look what it says in verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. Here we have a list of the occupants of this awful place. The occupants of hell are all those who live in sin and who reject Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. And among the list of ungodly people that we read of here who occupy hell are the unbelieving. Did you notice that right at the beginning of the text? Who are the unbelieving? Those who reject Christ as Savior. Such people do not necessarily have to be murderers. You don't have to be a murderer to be an unbeliever. You don't have to be an idolater to be an unbeliever. You don't have to be a whoremonger to be an unbeliever. You don't even have to be a liar to be an unbeliever. You say to me, but preacher, when I look down that list, I can't see myself. Well, you can see yourself if you're not saved in that word, unbelieving. Because if you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, if you haven't been saved by the grace of God, then you are what the Bible describes as an unbeliever. The just have to be among those in society. In other words, you just have to be among those in society who refuse God's salvation and say no to this free offer of redemption to be an unbeliever. You remember that when the Lord Jesus Christ walked upon this scene of time, he spoke to the Pharisees and to the scribes. And of course, we pointed out one night last week that they were the religious leaders at the time of Christ, but they were unbelievers because they would not accept Christ as the Savior and as the Messiah. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to them, how shall ye escape the devil? In other words, because they had rejected Christ as the Savior, they were lost. But they were religious people. They were unbelievers. And of course, John the Baptist, again, we were thinking about him and his message on Friday night. He said to the Pharisees and to the scribes that they weren't going to escape the wrath of God. And they were just simply unbelievers. Those who would not accept Christ as the Messiah. Oh, my friend, those who occupy hell, we have a list here. But don't forget that you're among that list. And I say that very lovingly and tenderly to your heart tonight. You're among that list tonight because of your refusal to come and accept Christ as your Savior, turn from your sin, repent your sin, and by faith accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Redeemer. Because remember, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And if you're not heading towards the kingdom of God, which is heaven, then you're heading towards hell without Christ, without hope, and without God. So we have the description of hell, and we have the occupants of hell. But notice something else. I want you to notice, thirdly, the duration of this place called hell. How long will hell and destruction exist? Hell and destruction will exist as long as God exists. How long will God exist? Well, God is eternal. God is everlasting. Therefore, hell is eternal. Hell is everlasting. There is no end to it. Hell endures forever. It is continual. Now just think about that. We today think of everything in relation to time. Time. There's a time to be born. There's a time to grow up. There's a time to get old. There's a time to die. But you know, my friend, in eternity there's no such a thing as time. But the best way that we can explain or describe eternity is by using words like everlasting, eternal. And hell is a place of eternal punishment. Hell is a place of everlasting destruction. Just turn over in your Bibles for a moment to Matthew's Gospel chapter 25 and look with me there at verse 41, and you'll read these words again, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell is a place of everlasting fire. Now, could anyone imagine what 1 minute in hell would be like? No. I could preach here from now to the morning. I could preach here for a month, a year. And I could never describe to you what it means to be lost in hell for 1 minute. But what must it be to be in hell forever and forever and forever and forever and forever? What must it be to be lost in this place with no reprieve, no getting out, no day when that would come when you would know that the gate of hell would be open, the door of hell would be open, and you would be set free? Listen to me, men and women. This book that I have in my hand, the Word of God, the Bible, teaches me, declares to us, that once a soul is lost in hell, they're there for all eternity. As long as God exists, that's the duration of this awful place. You know, it is not a light thing to be lost in hell forever and forever and forever. To lose your wealth is sad, and to lose your health is worse. But to lose your soul for all eternity is such a loss that no words of mine could fully describe. And that's why we impress upon your heart to get right with God now. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why indeed the Lord Jesus Christ came and died upon the cross. That's why the Saviour went and shed His precious blood upon Calvary's cross, so that you and I could be saved from hell. You see, that's the gospel. The Lord Jesus died upon the cross and shed His precious blood to redeem us from hell, to make it possible for you and I to find forgiveness for our sins and find pardon for our iniquity. I wonder, my friend, have you ever thought about that? We hear much about the cross today, don't we? But my friend, we hear very little of the reason why Christ went to the cross. And soon be Easter, and we'll be thinking about the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. And there'll be a lot said about the death of Christ on the cross and the resurrection of Christ. But friend, there'll be very little said of the reason why the Saviour went to the cross. He went to the cross to redeem souls from hell, to pay the price of our redemption. He went to the cross in order to die and to be the substitute for sinners, to save men and women from hell and from judgment to come. And thank God, that's the real message of the cross. And what a glorious and wonderful message it is. And my friend, if you're here tonight and you're not familiar with the gospel, or perhaps it's a long time since you've sat under the sound of the gospel, here is the word that I want you to hear tonight. And here is the great message of saving grace. That it's not His will, Christ's will, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And thank God you can find repentance tonight, and you can find salvation, and you can receive everlasting life, because the Lord Jesus on the cross died for your sins, shed His blood for your iniquities. He paid the price for your transgressions. And because of what He has done, you go free. If you accept Him as your Saviour and as your Redeemer and as your Lord, are you saved tonight? Are you born again of the Spirit of God? Do you know that you're on your way to heaven? Are you sure that you have been saved from this place called hell? I want you to notice something else, but I want you to take a look at the text again, because this is the whole thrust of the text. We have considered the description of hell, and we have considered here the occupants of hell and the duration of this place called hell. But I want you to notice the capacity of this place called hell. The capacity. Look what it says there. Hell and destruction are never full. Now I want you to underline those last words. Never full. You know, I can take a glass of water tonight, and that glass is almost full. And if I take the jug under the counter here, I can fill it up until I can get no more water into the jug. In other words, or into the glass. In other words, the glass can be filled until there's no room for any more water to get into the glass. But my friend, no matter how many people end up in hell, it's never full. You can't fill up hell. You know, this is quite amazing when you think of the multitudes that are heading to hell. You know what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7? Indeed, it was the Lord Jesus Christ who spoke the words. He said this, "Broad is the way which leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." And he was in that text of Scripture describing the broad way which leads to hell. And the truth is that the majority of people in this world tonight are marching down the broad road to a lost eternity. Now you think of how many millions, literally millions of people that are walking down the broad road to a lost eternity. Not only in this generation, but who travel down that broad road in the last generation. In every generation since the beginning of time, and in the next generations of God, God withholds His second coming. Think of all the multitudes that are on the broad road, and yet hell is never full. My friend, you know that teaches me
that there'll always be room in hell for you. There'll always be room in hell for you. Don't think that the time will come when hell will be full. The Bible describes hell as a bottomless pit. And that word bottomless in that text in Revelation, it means a very deep place. A very deep place. That's the best way that our English can describe the Greek word that's used. A very deep place. A bottomless pit. And that's why you need to take these things seriously. That's why you need to think upon them seriously. There's always room for more. There's always room for more. And my friend, that's why we need to impress upon your heart tonight. Indeed, that's why Christ spoke the word, strive to enter in at the straight gate. And here tonight, as you're under the sound of the gospel and under the sound of God's word, the Lord would come personally to you and speak to you as an individual. And his message would be clear. Get right with me. Get right with God. Make your peace with God. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. Now, let me ask you a couple of questions. The meeting is almost over. And in a few minutes' time, the Reverend Salt's going to come and he's going to close the meeting. He's going to sing a hymn. And the meeting's going to be over. Let me ask you some questions. And I want you to answer these questions honestly within your heart. Do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? You say to me, preacher, of course I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I'm a good Protestant. Surely I believe the Bible is the Word of God. Well, let me ask you this then. Do you believe then that there is a hell? Because if you believe the Bible is the Word of God, you have to believe that there's a hell. Because the Bible teaches that there's a hell. Now here's the next question. If you believe the Bible is the Word of God, and you have to accept then that there's a hell, do you believe at this present moment that you're on your road to hell? Now friend, there's not too many people willing to answer that question in a positive way. They'll skip around that question, and I've asked that question to many people. And they'll always try to avoid that question. But the truth is this, if you're not saved, not born again of the Spirit of God, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you believe the Bible is the Word of God, you believe that there's a hell, then you have to accept that at this very moment, because you're not a Christian, because you're not born again, you are on your way to hell. Because the Bible says that the sinner is condemned already. You see, you don't have to wait to die to find out whether you're going to hell or not. My friend, the Bible says that you're going to hell now. You're just a heartbeat away from hell. You're just a breath away from hell. If you were to take your last breath right now, you'd be in hell, according to the Bible, according to the truth of God. Now that means, therefore, that there's only one step between you and hell. Now friend, that's a very solemn thought, isn't it? Because at any moment, during any day, of any week, of any month, of any year in your life, indeed at any second, if the breath was taken from your body, before your body would hit the ground, your soul would be in hell. That's what happened to the rich man in Luke 16. Take a look at it. Read it in your Bible and see what it says. Verse 22. The rich man, the latter part of the verse, also died and was buried. Now the atheist tells us that's the end. Maybe there's an atheist here tonight. Maybe there's an unbeliever here tonight. Maybe there's someone here tonight. I don't know who you are, but I know this. If you're not in the meeting, there's definitely those outside the meeting, and they tell us that the grave is the end, and that death is the end, and that you stop existing when your body dies. But friend, let me tell you something, there's no atheists in hell. Not one. And this rich man died, and he was buried. Then look at verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Now, there's many a man, and they would love just to rip that out of the Bible. Everywhere where hell is mentioned, they'd rip it out. But friend, we can't rip it out, because God's word is forever settled in heaven. You know what you need to do today? You need to come to Christ. You need to put your trust in the Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can save you from hell and from destruction and from judgment to come. The Lord Jesus Christ, and because of what He has done on the cross of Calvary, He's the only one. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in Thee. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Lord Jesus is the only way. Now, you can put these things to the back of your mind. And that's what people do. They'll put them to the back of their mind. They'll say, well, maybe there's a wee bit of truth in what the preacher's saying, but I'll just put it to the back of my mind and not think about it. I've got all my life in front of me. I'm not going to become a Christian tonight. I'm not going to get saved tonight. I believe probably what the preacher is saying is true, but I'm not going to give my life to the Lord tonight because I've all my life in front of me. Is that what you're saying? You've all your life in front of you? But what about when your life is over, friend? What then? You know, that's what a great preacher asked a young man one day. The young man was full of life and he wanted to live life to the full. And the preacher asked him a series of questions. He says, well, what are you going to do with your life? He says, I'm going to get a good education and I'm going to study hard and I'm going to graduate from university. And the preacher says, well, what then? Well, then I'm going to get a good job, make sure that I earn plenty of money, and I'm going to get a house, and I'm going to get married, and my wife's going to have children, and we're going to see our children grow up. I'm going to be happy. The preacher says, but what then? He says, well, I'm going to grow old, and my wife and I are going to retire, and we're going to live a good long life upon this earth. And we're going to be happy. The preacher says, well, but what then? And the young man says, well, then I'll probably die. And the preacher says, but what then? My friend, what then? You need to think about these things. And if you're not sure what I'm saying is true, you need to get the Bible down and you need to work out your own salvation. You need to work out in your own heart and mind, what's the truth and what's not the truth? Because these things are too serious, my friend, to leave, just to ignore and to forget. Don't continue to go down the broad road that leads to destruction. Hell and destruction are never full. And at the end of your life, you're going to find out if you have rejected Christ that there's room for you. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for the warnings in the Word of God. We thank Thee for the Scriptures of truth. Lord, we know that many of these subjects are not pleasant to the ear. But, O God, they're the truth. And, Lord, we thank Thee that Jesus came and died on the cross to save us from this place called hell. Surely, Lord, for us to fully understand the truth of the gospel and to fully understand the truth of the cross, we've got to consider the truth of hell.
to see why the Lord Jesus came in the first place. Oh God, we thank Thee. We thank Thee for the full counsel of God, and we pray, Lord, for those in this meeting who are not saved. Dear God, that You would reach down and save them and snatch them as brands from the burning. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.